Congregation, brothers and sisters, the scripture reading of this morning you will find in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to John, of which we will read chapter 12, the verses 12 to 34. The Gospel according to John, chapter 12, the verses 12 to 34. The word of the Lord. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. And for this cause the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how he prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel speak to him. But Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And how sayest thou, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, let us unite in prayer and seek the face of the Lord. We wish to see Jesus. Is that your question this morning coming to church? this beautiful Sunday morning. I wish to see Jesus. As with the psalmist, my soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. We wish to see Jesus, not only preachers. Not only preachers have this, say, special responsibility to do this, to speak of Jesus so that he might be seen, encountered by you this day. But are we not all called by the Lord to make Jesus known in the way we live? When you speak with people that are different from you, maybe by creed or confession or by race or by nation, do they see Jesus in you? When you are called to serve, do they see Jesus? Or even when you are hurt or offended, do people see how you love and forgive? And therefore they think of Jesus. That you truly live a life that he, Christ, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. This is what we see in the passage that we have read together, the Gospel according to John in chapter 12, where Christ speaks about himself. But the congregation, in doing that, he speaks also about us, about you and me. In particular in verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Words that Christ's word that speaks of death and of love, speaks of dying and loving. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate with you this morning and consider these words. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I have three observations on this text, related to this text word. In the first place, a simple question. The second place, a surprising answer. And in the third place, how Christ's word ought to transform us or serving in this world. In the first place, a simple question, which is kind of the reading the text in context. The simple question is this: we wish to see Jesus. We would see Jesus. That is what the Greeks at the Passover feast asked Philip. And Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. So we have read in verse 22. Now, there has been considerable discussion among the scholars as to just who these Greeks are. In the Gospel of John, it maybe not only represent the whole world, and they stand in contrast to the Pharisees, who are exasperated by Jesus' growing influence. Or it might point that Jesus is not only the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, in the verses 12 to 19, but that Jesus is also the king of the Greeks, the Gentiles, the rest of the world. Or those Greeks, that they came from the Greek city as near to Decapolis and Bethsaida in Galilee. Or even maybe God-fearing ones, as intimated by John's remark, that they went up to worship at the feast. Congregation, whatever is the case, whatever the case is, and the question is, we wish to see Jesus, to see, to experience Jesus, to be in his presence. And therefore, again, is that your question? Is that what brought you into church this morning at the close of the summer season, the beginning of the fall season? Is that what gets us each Sunday to church? Maybe in the business of our lives, in family life, or maybe one in our midst in time of loneliness, or with the challenges and the cares or concerns of life. Or maybe even this morning out of curiosity, or that you came with shadows and sorrows in your life, or when you open your Bible, or when you come together or are alone in prayer, you want to be in his presence. Reorient your life to him. We wish to see Jesus. Just the question of the Greeks. We don't know their names. We don't know how many they were. We don't know much anything about them. But maybe there is one even this morning here in our midst with this question. Or maybe we should say, maybe they are here in New Jersey, maybe in our communities. But can they come to the Phillips and the Andrews of the church? Are we as congregation approachable, accessible? Do we as congregation, wherever we live, wherever we come together, do we have time for people to ask us, maybe even people here in the congregation, maybe younger ones, and to ask, we wish to see Jesus, but do you bring them before the Lord? Do you bring them to Jesus as Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus to see him? The Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can meet the deep need of our hearts. Can people tell, can people see that you have been with Jesus? And so they want to be with Jesus. When Moses came down from the mount with a shining faith, he could not hide the fact that he had been with Jesus. And so, congregation, if we spend time with the Lord, we cannot and we will not want to hide the fact that we have been with Jesus. Let us never forget that sin and selfishness and worldliness in our life, particularly in the life of the believer, will tend to hide the Lord Jesus from the view of others. We wish to see Jesus. Simple, but yet a profound question. In the second place, a surprising answer. And Jesus answered them, that start then in verse 23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And Jesus ends with verse 26, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. It's a surprising answer. Not so much by Christ saying, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, as these Greeks might have been familiar with a Greek cultic feast, where the desire for rebirth was expressed with the symbol of grain. And the high point of that celebration was an ear of grain was cut in silence, which represented the force of new life. But the surprise of Jesus' answers lies herein, that Christ is speaking about himself. A truth, maybe an unexpected truth about himself. This, the way to glory, is through death. Do you want to see that? It is that Christ says, I indeed bear much fruit, indicating you will be saved, the Greeks will be saved, and all who believe in me will be saved. Also this morning. But this is what I want them to see. See me dying. And in my death, see me bearing fruit. And let us remember, it is just before Christ's crucifixion that in this passage, Christ set his sight on the cross. And that helps, and I hope and pray that helps us to understand, to grasp this reality, why it is so important that he died. His death as a means of his love for sinners. For people like you, like me. That in his love that he left his place of glory. As the apostle writes in the epistle to the Philippians, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. That he was born in our likeness, says the apostle. He humbled himself. As Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And that he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And in dying on the cross, in his obedience to the Father, in his passive obedience, meaning Christ took the penalty that you and I deserved, and he died a death that you and I should have died. Christ in his active obedience, meaning Christ lived the life that you and I should have lived. As the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, always, I think, so beautiful form. So fittingly state that where he was bound, so that we might be freed from our sins. Where he was innocently condemned to death, so that we, do you see the wonder? The wonder of that we might be never acquitted at the judgment seat of God, where he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, that he has taken upon himself the curse due to us, so that he may fill us with his blessings. That he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. Christ on the cross, dying as a grain of wheat. Congregation, it declares how dire our condition is apart from Jesus. It tells us, it shows us how deep sin goes, how profound our rebellion is, how impossible our predicament is apart from help from the outside. There is nothing that we can do, no effort we can exert. And therefore, congregation, let us never forget that the cross says you are more sinful than you have ever imagined. But also, and that is also the gospel of this morning, the cross also says you are more loved than you ever could have dreamed. Of which Jonathan Edwards once said, Christ's sorrows abounded, but his love did much more abound. Christ's soul was overwhelmed with a deluge of grief, but it was this from a flood of love to sinners in his heart, sufficient to overflow the world and overwhelm the highest mountain of sin. Christ's blood that fell down to the ground was a manifestation of an ocean of love in Christ's heart. His love for you and me abound. His love is sufficient for the highest mountain of your sin. His love is an ocean of love for a people that cannot even keep one of his commandments. Congregation, in Christ on the cross, we are receiving peace and pardon, but also love and delight. We wish to see Jesus, wishing to see such a love of a dying Savior, seeing his death for sinners like you and me. I recently read in this well-known book of John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, where he writes, still I came at that place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulchre. And I saw in my dream, just as Christian came in with the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders and fell from his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came in the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in and I saw it no more. That is Christ's forgiveness. That is Christ's forgiveness. Forgiven and forgotten. You know what is then experienced? As the same Bunyan writes, in grace abounding to the chief of sinners, I remember that one day, as I was considering my enmity that was in me to God, this scripture came to mind. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. By which I was made to see both again and again that day that God and my soul were friends through his blood. I saw that the justice of God and my sinful soul could embrace and kiss each other through his blood. This was a good day to me, and I hope I shall never forget it. I shall never forget it. And therefore, our third point. must such a gospel not transform us, serving us, bearing fruit in our life? Our third observation, how Christ's word ought to transform us and or serving in this world. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Christ, speaking about himself, he speaks also about us. As he says, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Saving the life and losing the life are figures of speech. And in the context, it is clear that losing one's life means a denying of yourself, taking up your cross, following Jesus, yes, even at times on a path of suffering. Loving life by losing it. That the gospel transforms us in a life of self-denial, where he increases and I decrease. A life of serving. A life of following him. Young people, to have your identity in him, the Lord Jesus. Follow me, says Christ. And that means to die to yourself. Dying to yourself as a means of love. Yes, as a Christian, you have already died, but the Lord calls us to die daily. Serve me, says Christ. Christ who did not come to be served, but to serve. Christ who emptied himself by taking a form of a servant, supremely loved by the Father, left heaven for earth, to bring his people from earth to heaven to himself. But congregation, are we truly servants in this world? Having this fruit in our life, this radical call of the gospel, but to be served by Jesus as so to serve others around us. Not that our service in this world is a patch for morality, but by serving in this world that is Christ-centered and dependent, serving generously and serving sacrificially. I read recently, if you have received the goods of this world by God and you don't share them with others, it is not just ungenerous, but it is also injustice. In our service in this world, being grasped by the gospel, being transformed by the gospel, do we show Christ in this world? I remember even in our, maybe at times that we have troubles and trials and testings, that we are still called to serve. Jesus washed his disciples' feet on the way to the cross. The next chapter. Washing one another's feet, taking the lowest place, even in times when you go through testings and trials and challenges. But also in serving, to be reminded that Christ was born in our likeness. So the people that we meet in you, at your work, maybe downtown Manhattan, Maybe a homeless one. Maybe a single, struggling, divorced man or woman, or someone with hurt or anger, or black or yellow or whatever skin color, or a lesbian or a gay. Do we see such one as created in God's image? Not any better than you and me, in need of salvation, in need of Christ the Savior, as we need it as well. But remember, Christ is in all of this not just a model, not just an example, but he is a Savior, a substitute. And therefore, as the apostle calls us, as the Lord calls us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. To whom else shall you then go? To whom else shall you go? With your sins, with your shortcomings, maybe with your challenges or your cares and your concerns facing your life, your dealings with criticism and failures, yes, maybe sometimes even in church. Or at your work, are you still scrambling for reputation or approval? Or for significance or importance? We wish to see Jesus. Look at the cross of Christ, inviting with outstretched arms. Look unto him. And don't look who we are in ourselves, but who you are by his grace, who we are in him. Look at Christ. Every time when he was in trouble, testing, he used the word of God. When he was tempted, he used the word of God. When he was in suffering on the cross, he used the word of God. But remember also that Christ is looking at you. This suffering, dying Christ, this willing, this able, this loving Savior. And he sees you. Maybe even right now, in the busyness of your life, of your family life. And he invites this morning to rest. Maybe at the close of this summer season, the beginning of the fall season, new season in church and new season in your work, but he invites, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. And he sees you this morning, when you came this morning to church in your loneliness, and he offers, there is a place with me. He who has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you came with the sorrows and shadows in your life. Remember that he lowered himself to meet you where you are right now. And he promised to bear your grief and to carry your sorrows. Christ from the cross sees your challenges and cares and concerns in your life, invites this morning, casting all your anxieties, your worries, your cares on him, because he cares for you. Christ on the cross presents mercy and grace, provides comfort and hope, and provokes courage and faith. We wish to see Jesus. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once was the feeling, now it is his word. Once it was the gift I wanted, now himself, Jesus, and him alone. O congregation, that we are reminded this morning, seeing Jesus offers a safe anchor for the storms of life, offers perseverance for the battles of life, provides patience for the cares of life, and offers strength for the burdens of life, and provides light for the shadows of light, and extends hope for the end of life. Seeing such a dying and a loving Savior, when you survey the wondrous cross, does that not give you to pause, but also to praise? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 4. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. And when we have heard once again this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may say with those Greeks, we wish to see Jesus today, tomorrow, and forever. And so, Lord, we'll apply your word to our hearts, that it truly might bear fruit and transform us, so that also Christ is lifted up in this world. And through the way we live in this world, that Christ is seen more and more. Be with us the furthest of this day. Grant us a good day together. Bless us and make us a blessing. And that for Christ's sake alone. Amen. The